My friend Peyton Self grew up wealthy in the Mississippi Delta. And all the days of his life, almost every day of his life, somebody wanted something from him. Hospital needs a new chapel? Call the Selfs. Town needs a playground? Call the Selfs. When you have something that everybody else wants, it is really difficult to tell whether they like you or just want your money. It's hard to tell whether people are grateful that you have freely given something that is wholly yours, or whether they think they are entitled to something that is yours, that somehow it is your job to give. One day, Peyton and I were having a conversation in their kitchen, and he was eating some potato chips out of a bag, and Peyton's four-year-old son, Henry, came up and said to him, "Daddy, give me a chip." And Peyton said, "Henry, what do we say?" Henry thought about it for a minute, and he said, "Make it a big one." Everybody wants something. Does God owe us something? Is it God's job to forgive or to heal or to answer prayers in the way that we ask Him? Or are those things wholly within His purview so that each act of grace for us, each instance of God's unmerited favor for us, is an occasion for gratitude from us? We've been tending these healing miracles as we're walking this Lenten journey, and we're getting ever closer to Holy Week, ever closer to the passion of our Christ, ever closer to His cross and to His resurrection. And this week, as we think about the healings, we're going to hear a hard story that hinges on what's happening in the heart. Would you join me? We're in the 7th chapter of Mark's Gospel, beginning in the 24th verse. Mark chapter 7, verse 24. If you have a copy of the scripture, would you open it there? And there the scripture says, "Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre, and he entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he was unable to keep his presence a secret. In fact, as soon as a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit heard about Jesus, she came to him and fell at his feet, and she begged him to drive the demon away. And Jesus said to her, 'First, let the children eat all they want, for it would not be right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs.'" She responded, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this answer you may go. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the little child lying on her bed, the demon gone. This is the word of the Lord. She begged Jesus. Wouldn't you? What she did makes sense. And we want Jesus to do something that makes as much sense. And instead, Jesus, friend to sinners, what a friend we have in Jesus. Jesus says, "It wouldn't be right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Is there some rule against helping non-Jewish children that we have missed somewhere in here? She doesn't care about the rules. She cares only about her daughter who's terribly ill, and this is her only chance. This is her child. What would you do? if your child was sick, what would you do? And she came back to him one more time and said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that are under the children's table. And Jesus said, wow, good answer. For that, you can have the thing for which you've asked. Go home, the demon is gone. You and your daughter are well. What's going on in this story? Part of what we need to know is that Jesus' healing miracles are a part of his proclamation that the kingdom of God is at hand. Miracles are like signposts. They're pointing to a future destination, saying that the redemption of the world has already begun. The miracles are signs that the creative power of God that made everything out of nothing is at work in the world to make everything that is wrong, right. And Jesus' mission is to be the Jewish Messiah. He has come and he is going to a cross on which he will die. Jesus couldn't simply become an itinerant healer going from village to village and town to town and healing the maladies that he encountered there. He has a larger mission than one at a time kinds of miracles. And here he is in Gentile territory and he has to go back to Israel after the cross. After he is raised, he will send his disciples to the uttermost parts of the earth, and then the rest of the world will come under the saving power and the judging might of the God of Israel, who's the creator of the whole world. But this mother, she doesn't care about Israel or about the kingdom of God. All she wanted was for her daughter to be healed. And I don't blame her. That is what every one of us would want. That is what every one of us would have done if it was all we knew to ask for. And here's the key. She wanted a cure, but she did not want the kingdom. She didn't even know to ask for it. And when Jesus, just at the moment where you think she doesn't have a prayer, she offered one. And what a prayer it was. Yes, Lord. But even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Don't miss that. Don't miss what has happened in that moment, because that prayer has all the power in the world. Her desperation for her daughter has stripped away any pride or pretense she might have. She doesn't care what her neighbors think in this moment. She doesn't care that the disciples want her to go away. She cares only about her daughter. And she's been told that Jesus can heal her. And what she said is, I accept that other children have to be fed first. She was willing to play the part of a dog. Yes, Lord. But even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. The dogs don't wait till after the meal, Jesus. You know how this works. While everybody's eating, the dogs come and they get under the table and they eat what falls as it's falling. She said, I'm asking you for a miracle. And I'm not asking for the whole meal, just a crumb will be enough for me. A crumb from your table is all that I need. If you're offering a kingdom, I just need a crumb. That's all. Jesus said, that's right. For that answer, you can have what you've asked for. It's a hard story. Mark is an incredibly good storyteller, and a part of his genius is the way he locates his stories, what's going on before them and behind them. And he puts this story in a fascinating place. In Mark chapter 7, he opens up and the Pharisees are having a debate about how we get clean, how we get right before God. What is it that puts us in a right relationship with God? And after this story, it's the feeding of the 4,000. At the end of which the disciples go out and they collect 7 baskets full of bread that's been left over. It's a picture that with Jesus there is bread and to spare for everyone who was there. And thanks be to God, there is bread enough for her. A crumb was enough. Mark is saying, this miracle, this story, this Syrophoenician woman is our teacher. And they're teaching us what it takes for us to be right before a God of abounding abundance. So what did she do? What changed? What was the hinge in this? You might think she got what she asked for because she was clever. She had the right answer at the right moment. Do you know folks who are that way? I have friends, and we'll be walking and talking, and they have the perfect comeback. And I envy that. An hour later, I'll think, I should have said, but it never seems to come at the right time. You might think something in Jesus changed because she was clever, and thank the Lord that is not true. Can you imagine if our salvation depended on us having the right words at the right moment? If God's work in our lives was dependent on our wits on our worst days? Thank God that's not right. You might think that she got what she asked for because she was clever, but it was not her cleverness. It was her humbleness. She accepted that she did not deserve a miracle. She confessed that the kingdom of God was for someone else's children. And then she prayed for a miracle and for the kingdom of God to come into her life just the same. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on our child. Let us be like the dogs under the table. She was a Greek from Syrophoenicia. That's Bible speak for she was a Gentile. Don't miss that, because here's the thing. We are Gentiles. Right? And so if grace is going to come to us, it has to come the same way that it came to her. Humility and faith and trust are what are required to be disciples of Jesus. You want to be first? You have to be last. Do you want to be great? You have to be the servant of all. Do you want to enter the kingdom of God? Become like a little child, Jesus said. And here is this woman who is ready to enter the kingdom of God as a dog, if that's what it takes. And what if Jesus says something hard to us, fellow Gentiles? What if the hard word from Jesus is pointed our way? Are we ready to hear that? I have a friend who was visiting a church of another denomination, and they were singing Amazing Grace. And he was looking in the hymnal, and sometimes, for reasons mysterious to me, hymnal editors strip away the good theology of our hymns. And they sang Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved someone like me. And he asked, is it good news that we don't think of ourselves as a wretch like me anymore? We do that too, if you look in your hymnal. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would He devote that sacred head, we sing, for sinners such as I. But that was written for such a worm as I. And we don't want to say that we are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Nobody wants to be a wretch or a worm or a dog. We want to be somebody. And we work really hard in our lives to look like we have it all put together when we don't. But then we don't get low. And we think that because we're somebody, we deserve something. And then we're not grateful. And we don't humble ourselves. And we don't take on a life of service because we are servants. And we start to think that Jesus owes us salvation, that it's his job to forgive. And we ignore that the path of discipleship is hard. In humility of mind, consider others better than yourselves. Forgive as you have been forgiven. If you want to be perfect, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Love your enemies and bless those who hate you. And do good to those who hate you. And bless those who curse you. That doesn't mean, now bless her heart. And deny yourself. And take up your cross. And follow Jesus. The path of discipleship is hard. But it is only when we humble ourselves and ask Jesus to do his kingdom work in us that we joyfully discover that the unmerited favor of God is for us too. The good news is, Jesus never turns anyone away empty except those who are already full of themselves. For even Jesus emptied himself to come give us life, taking the form of a slave, dying the death of a slave on a cross to give us life. Jesus came low for us. Will we get low for him? Well,